So we have seen that even according to the lenient opinions in copyrights that holds there's no such thing as ownership over intellectual property, which is a minute opinion, a minority opinion, they still hold that there is a concept that you should still pay for it, even if you're taking a copy from a copy, and you're not actually taking from the original copy, which is an Isser Gesell, according to everybody, but you're just doing a copy from copy of the original, where there's no ownership over just the intellectual property, and you're not over Isser Gesell, but if you use it, there's still a concept, you're benefiting from something which somebody gave to you, they created that idea, and you're benefiting from it, and they're losing you being a customer, because you're trying to get it free, so therefore we have a concept of being nene from somebody, having hana from him, and that person losing through your hana, so therefore you have to pay for the value of that hana which you're getting. Under the concept, you gained from him, and he lost because of it, therefore you have to pay for it. That's what we saw last week. Now, where do we actually prove that that's true even in such a case? We had a case of the Shulchan Aruch. What did the Shulchan Aruch say, brought down? That if a Jew comes along and buys from a goy property, and he pays money, paying money halakhically doesn't transfer ownership of that property from the goy to the Jew, because in order to get property from the goy you have to have a document halakhically. Money, it doesn't do it. So he gave the money, hasn't yet written the document to get hold of that land from the goy. The status of that land in that in-between period of giving the money and not yet writing the contract is that land is considered hefker. The goy has given up his rights because he received his money and he's not interested in the land anymore. And the Jew hasn't yet got hold of the land because he hasn't yet written the document which gives him ownership. Comes along another Jew called Shimon who goes ahead and makes a chazok on that land, and the halacha is Shimon now owns that land because that land is hefker, even though Reuven paid for it, the land is hefker and Shimon now owns that land.
Why is that in that particular case?
Yes.
Why doesn't Yehuda Malchus Sedina say that Reuven owns the land as soon as the money is transferred? In other words, the reason the goy he's not interested anymore because as far as he's concerned the government says it's my money and it's his land. Transaction is done. Mm-hmm. So why doesn't that affect
when we get to dinner after the dinner it's not is a long explanation why it doesn't apply.
Okay.
Now so the Shimon now got hold of that land. Does he have to repay Reuven for the money he lent out? Yes, he does. Shimon now owns the land, but Reuven caused that land to become hefker by giving the money to the goy. So therefore, Shimon has to compensate Reuven for that money. Why? Says the Nesivus. Because Shimon's getting benefit from Reuven. Reuven created the hefker by giving the money to the goy. So Shimon is getting benefit because of Reuven. And he's getting the benefit, and he's causing Reuven a loss because he's lost that money. So therefore, Shimon is getting hana, causing Reuven a loss, and therefore Shimon has to compensate Reuven for that loss because of the concept zanana uzachosa. He benefits from Reuven causing the loss. He has to compensate Reuven for the hana he got from that land.
Isn't it Reuven that's causing his own loss by giving the money?
No. What?
Shimon didn't cause him to give the money. He gave the money without setting title first.
No, the goy said, "You give me the money, then we can talk business." That's
the goy caused. Shimon didn't cause the loss.
Yes.
Shimon didn't cause him to give the money.
It's Shimon caused the hana.
Yes, caused the hana
to himself. Reuven gave Shimon that hana. That's for sure.
Correct.
And by Shimon taking hold of that land before Reuven could get the contract, that automatically caused a financial loss for Reuven because of your benefit. A loss of the property on that. And the money.
The property.
The money,
the
which
money was lost before Shimon.
The money
the
which caused the hefker.
But the money was lost before Shimon even got into the picture, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Not lost. It was in due for the land.
What?
It was given in for.
But there's no way he can get it back.
He can't get. What do you mean can't get that? It was in
order. There's no way he can get it back from the guy.
There's a shadow where he can get it back from the guy. Maybe he could get it back from the guy.
I mean, practically speaking, there's no way he can get it back.
No,
from the guy.
Maybe he could. Maybe he could.
And now that Shimon takes over, he can.
Now Shimon gets over. Shimon's taking the land.
In other words, are his ability to get the money back from the guy in any way affected by Shimon's taking possession?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
So therefore, Reuven indirectly causes Hanar to Shimon, not directly. He created the heifer, allowed Shimon to take it. Shimon benefits from that. He has to pay for that benefit. So here also, copyright. Somebody creates that copyright, that tape, that disc, that program, even though there's no ownership of the person who created it, nevertheless, he indirectly causes Hanar for the person who eventually takes hold of that program, so therefore he's causing Hanar eventually to somebody who takes hold of it, and by that person who takes hold of it, he's getting Hanar from the person who created it, and he's causing him a loss because he's taking away his own custom, so therefore he has to pay for that copyright. He's nana from someone who created that program, and he's causing Mamakosa a loss of the customer, he himself, in such a case, so therefore he has to pay for that program. That's what we saw. Now, let's talk about a dinter against a basin. We started last week. And would you say, in this case, similarly, that the person has to pay of the scenario which you have? So, we have a case of Leah who opens up a shop in the canyon, selling clothes. She investigates the market, invests money into finding out what the particular area enjoys and likes, and discovers there's one particular make. After investing money into this, she discovers one particular make which the customers like, and therefore she joins up with this manufacturer and says, I am ordering from you this line of clothes. There's ordering from you this line of clothes from this manufacturer. Right. And for the next 2 years, everything goes well. She makes a lot of profit. She invests more into her business. And she has a large clientele base that she has created through her efforts in this canyon, mainly based on this manufacturer's goods. Okay. Now, after 2 years, the manufacturer comes to Leah and says, I see you're doing well with my product over here. I want to make a deal with you. I want to become a partner in your business. Fine. What are you offering, says Leah to the manufacturer, to become a partner? I'm offering that I continue supplying the goods. If you don't make me a partner, then I'm going to cut off supply to you. So Leah says that's blackmail, and therefore says, I'm not giving you a partnership in the business for nothing, and refuses the offer. Most businesses won't. Yeah. Reuben is true to his words. This time. And he turns out to her and says, I'm cutting off all my line of stock. I'm no longer supplying you my goods to you. And this is 3 weeks before Pesach, one of her main times of year. The season. She's selling clothing. And not only that, Reuben says, you know what? I've gone ahead and rented the shop in the canyon next to you, and I'm opening up my own shop there under my own, with my own brand of clothes. Yeah. So she is now left with no goods to supply to her customers, and he's come in next door to her with the same goods, and therefore taking all her customers, which she has created. Yeah. She feels strangulation through this, and therefore takes him to base him. Said, look, this is this what this guy did to me. Therefore, I'm claiming it's complete. Must be awesome. And must be, not only awesome, must be that he can't do such a thing according to our law, and therefore I'm requesting that he should continue supplying me, at least force him to supply me or pay compensation for the loss of season which he's causing him in the meantime.
Maybe we can force him to shut down, but not to force him to fire. I mean, why would he be required to fire?
Why would he be required to shut down?
It's unfair competition.
He's not competing.
And he got a benefit.
There's no competition.
For him joining, there's no competition. Not anymore.
Right, so he did a Abla Doraisa.
What did he do?
He threatened her.
He didn't threaten her.
He did. He said, if you don't take me in, I'm going to go in competition with you.
No, I'm not going to go in competition with you. I'm not going to supply you.
She's welcome to go somewhere else. What is that called in the Haftarecha Kamocha in the Pasuk?
Blackmail.
It's called Nakoma.
What?
Nakoma.
It's not Nakoma. He wants to make money. He's not getting back at her.
Of course he is.
He's not doing anything to Nakoma. He's doing it for business.
If you're not taking me in, I'm going to do you. I'm going to finish you off.
That's not Nakoma. No, it's not.
Mr. Schleicher is right. There's definitely a reyach of Issah here. It doesn't smell good. It does not smell good.
I didn't say it wasn't wrong.
And therefore,
you can't extract the Hathor Echa Kamoch and
paste it.
Now, okay. The Tan Rebbeinu of Reuven says, I don't know what she's talking about. This is not unfair competition. Why? Because, what does it say in the contract between Reuben, the manufacturer, and Leah? It says that I, the manufacturer, can cut off my supply anytime I want. And therefore, that's what she signs. She knows what she's getting into. She put all her eggs in one basket. Fine, that's her own fault. And we're fulfilling the requirements of the contract by cutting off the supply. Fine. Now she's out of business. She's got no supply. Now that she's out of business, there's no shop that I'm competing with, because she's out, because I cut her off, which I'm allowed to cut her off, and therefore, since there's no business now, I can open up shop, because I'm not competing with her. I'm not putting her out of business, because she doesn't exist anymore.
But did he open up shop before or after she closed? He opened up shop before or after she closed her store?
He opened up shop as soon as he cut her off.
But she was still open trying to sell the existing goods.
No, she didn't have anything left really much to sell, because she was waiting for the new stock, the new season, the new goods for Pesach season.
Okay, so she was still there.
But with nothing really to sell.
No excuse.
But what's wrong with competing? No issue of competing.
Now, we had a whole halakhic discussion about Shirin, that it could be a problem of competing if he doesn't cut her off, and if he does open up in a fashion which there is not enough business for both. Or he obviously is attracting her clientele more than his, and therefore there are issues of unfair competition.
But since
he says that she no longer exists, because I cut off her supply, which I'm allowed to according to the contract, therefore she doesn't exist anymore. Therefore I'm not competing with her when I open shop next door, because she doesn't exist anymore. It's not competing, it's not unfair competing, because she doesn't exist. Why does she exist? Because I cut off supply. Why do I cut off supply? Because the contract says I'm allowed to cut off supply, she doesn't exist anymore. Therefore, says the Tom Rebbeinu, what's the problem over here?
Basically, what we learned,
he caused her a loss, he got a benefit, so he should be liable.
So, okay. But now we have a different issue, which is one relating to us. At the end of the day, is he getting hana from what Leah did?
Yes.
When he opens up shop and he sells his line of stock, is he getting any hana which Leah created?
Yes.
For sure, because where the customer's going, they see the other shop. They go there.
Built up the clientele, they know this. She invested money in building up.
He had the product, she just brought the clientele.
Yes, but that's a...
That's his clientele, not necessarily the line of...
She invested money to build up clients. Yes. Is that called a hana? Is that called hana? Let's look at the Gemara Bava Basi, and we'll see maybe a similar case over there that we started off last week. whether that's called or not. She's matriach herself to build up clients. Is that, and somebody goes ahead and it gets hana from it? Is that called hana?
She also built up a special line of clothing, no? I think last time we said that she's found out that the...
Yes, she investigated the market and said that was his good.
Are you saying the chaser part is what she invested to create?
Yes. Yes.
You know she did it for herself, not for...
Yes. Says the Gemara. Hanosin Sema, Nisra, Nisra, Lo, Odom, Besim, Oshachor. He gave it to a dyer, his wolf, and he told him, go and dye it red. And he went and dyed it black. Or the other way around, he told him, Shachar b'sod Adam. He said, do it black, and he went and did it red. He didn't listen to him. So Rameh says, who keeps the wall? Rameh says, the dyer keeps the wall. Rabbi Huda argues. Rabbi Huda says, Amar, Vada, the wool, even although he did it a different job, the wool goes back to the owner. The wool goes back to the owner, and the owner has to pay the worker, not according to how he fixed, because he changed the job. He pays the lowest value. Either the shvach is Yosef Asar, then he only pays the Asar. So, if the improvement is more than the cost, then he only pays the cost of the worker. If the cost which the worker did to this goods is more than the actual improvement to the goods, then the owner only has to pay for the improvements. He always gets the better deal, says the owner. Owner gets back his wool, and he pays the lowest price. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say the owner get back the wool? Rameh says the dyer keeps the wool. Rabbi Yehuda said no, the owner gets back the wool. The dyer cannot keep the wool. Why can't the dyer keep the wool? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say the dyer cannot keep the wool?
It's not his wool.
He did a shinu. It's Gazlan. He's a Gazlan.
Oh, he did it for Mazin?
Yes, did the kavanah to change the item. Yes.
He did it for kavanah?
Yeah.
Shinu
Rishus,
though,
he was
given
Rishus
to have
the chayfet, there's no Shinu Rishus necessarily. Not Shinu Rishus, but Shinu Meister. He's Meshana changed the item, which is also kinu. It was supposed to be the white wall, they made and red, and they made it black.
A piece of wood in
so yeah. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say the dyer can't keep it? Says Rashi.
Why should the dyer keep it?
Because he's a gazan and a gazan, if he makes kinyonim on it, he can keep it, but just he has to pay.
If you change it to the car, it's supposed to be a Scottish shinimaiser.
A gazan keeps it. Under, he keeps it. No, kosu, but he, the halakha is, he keeps it, but he has to pay money. Not give back the goods.
I don't understand.
Well, what's the heshivas like zela?
Money. When he makes a shinu, it's money. You give back the gzela only when it's like the item you stole, but as soon as it's not the same as the item you stole, because you changed it in the gazan's rishus, there's no chiv to give back that item, because it's not the same item, but there's a chiv to give back money, the value of the item you stole.
Yes, even without that kind of stuff.
Not.
Because
the Torah says that the Gazan stole it and he makes a shinu, which means he changed the item of the actual thing he stole, therefore he actually now halakhically owns it.
He has a class as well, no?
Yeah, yeah, so it depends. If it's a class, a lot of class.
That's even
what
without
the right color. And dyed it the color is supposed to die, it's still a shinu. So if he dyed it the right color, it's still a shinu. So this thing is called immaculate.
No, because then
it would
be
stealing.
We say it's not stealing. He didn't do a shinu to the rock son of his. So it's called a shinu. It's not called a shinu if he does it.
So the halacha says that the victim can lose twice according to the.
So he gets the money. He gets the money.
But one thing says. That's even worse for me. It's worse for me to get the money than get the Bible back.
Yes.
So the Gazan gets a choice. The victim,
not a choice. He has to give money. If the owner says, I don't want the item, I want money, he has to give money. It's no choice. Doesn't no choice. No choice. He can't force the item back. He can't give the item back.
So the Gazan gets a choice.
Not a choice. What do you mean? He can choice to give the item back, but he can't choose to give
the
item back.
If the guy says, I want the item back, I prefer the item back, yes. Then the Gazan's got a choice.
Choice. And if the guy says, I want to give back the item, the Baalim can say, I don't want the item, you have to pay money.
That's fair enough. He's the big thing. He should be able
yes.
to say that.
Yes.
The other way around, the Gazan's
yes.
got the choice.
Yes.
Gazan wins twice.
Not wins twice. He loses in Shemayim. He pays and he loses in Shemayim. Pays and loses in Shemayim.
This is without the Kamas HaShoshim that he doesn't have to give back the actual item?
Yes, because he did the Shemayim. Kinyan.
What about
Kinyan Shemayim?
What about
and it's Kuchai B'Shem Gromer. Then that's a different thing. That's a Mazik HaKom. Now, says Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda says you give back the item. Why? Says Rashi, Im kein tishayef nimsa zenana. If the dyer can keep the item, then you see the dyer will be getting hanor from Reuven who provided the item, because Reuven was troubled himself to get hold of the wool and give the wool over to the dyer, and the dyer has basically had a free service of delivery of the wool, and at the end of the day the dyer has gained hanor, benefits from the owner of the semer. If the dyer can keep the item, he's benefited from the tircha which the owner has gone ahead and caused the dyer by actually providing the materials. Therefore, since he's getting hanor, he can't keep it, because that, says Rabbi Hutza, means he's getting hanor, the dyer is getting hanor from Reuven, the owner of the semer. Reuven's causing hanor, and he's causing a loss to Reuven. So therefore, so the dyer would have to pay in order that then shouldn't come about. So we say, just give back the item, and therefore you're not getting any hanor in such a case. Hanor.
No, so they can pay, but don't they can give back the wool?
No, so that's part of the tekona of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, since would be the halacha. Yes, since there would be a halacha, then the dyer would have to pay extra money. In such a case, if he keeps the wool, we say you have to give back the wool. What? Why would he have to pay? Because he's getting hanor from the tircha which Reuben caused. So therefore, we see that somebody is matriya and goes out his way. Just even to supply goods, that's already in the Gemara said that's called hanor, which you would have to pay for. So who? Kosher Cain in our case, where she has invested all her time and effort and money into building up a clientele base for this goods and this product, comes along Reuven and takes that benefit for himself, then for sure that's called hanor, which you would have to pay for. If this case is called hanor, which is just delivering the wool, for sure the case of Leah's case, where she's invested in building up the clientele base, that's also called hanor, and therefore it's called hanor. Reuven's taken hanor, he's caused her loss. Under the trial which we learnt up to now, he's Nana, it's caused her loss, he would have to pay. That's the logic we would come out with. Yes? Yeah. Now, think for a minute, why it's not true what I'm saying.
The case is a case of Mazik, not a case of Hanah. In the Gemara's case of Mazik, not a case of Hanah.
No, because Rashi says case of Hanah.
I mean, use the word hanah, but
the nosh a heavy milay minashuk, because he brought the wool from the shuk. That's the hanah. I brought you the wool from the shuk, so I've given you the dyer hanah, mm-hmm. And therefore you have to pay for it. So to avoid that, just give back the dyer.
We don't hold that.
What? Why is that different from
us? This case is supplying physical goods, and the other case is not supplying any physical goods.
And therefore,
so it's not getting hanah from something physical that is given.
I don't have anything that belongs to her.
But the hanor, which the Gemara says you're going to pay for, is not the wool that you have to pay for in any case, because you're a cousin. The hanor which you're paying for is the delivery. The delivery of the wool. Delivery is a service.
But if it wasn't wool,
she
delivered
clients in the wool case.
She delivered the same way.
She delivered more people. She delivered clients.
If I delivered somebody else's wool, he wouldn't be chayav to me for anything.
Well, the difference there,
maybe not chayav for the guy that owns
the fundamental difference.
I would say once.
Why not the one who's doing it, or the one that owns the wool? If I give him somebody else's wool and he colors it wrong, yes. He has to give the wool back to me or to the owner?
No, go back to the owner.
Why? He didn't do anything.
But if you would keep the wool, then you have
but he didn't do anything. And I didn't, it wasn't my wool.
Yeah, okay, you're right, you're right.
But the fundamental difference is that she did it for herself. That's he. And here, he was giving something to him.
Why? Why was he giving it to the dyer? For himself or for the dyer? He was also doing it for himself.
The Gemara said that that item belongs to him till he gives it back. Till he gets paid.
No, that's Umdun Kodim Shaf. That's no. Umdun, yeah, but it doesn't mean it's...
He has a kingdom, doesn't it?
It means it belongs to him.
It doesn't pay.
He has certain property rights.
Yeah.
It doesn't belong to him. It doesn't belong to him.
He doesn't pay. Does it matter what your intention is in terms of her intention was not to help the guy, but here the intention was to help the person? Is that relevant?
No, because in both cases, he was intending to benefit himself with the effort he's putting in. So in the case of the Gemara, he's supplying the desire. Why? Not for the benefit of the desire, for himself, because he wants to tie his wool. In the case of the case of Leah, she's building up the kindness of herself.
But he is
so creating Hana of a service for their own benefit, and in the case of the Gemara, we say, well, that's called Hana that you have to pay for. So in Leah's case also.
In the case of the dyer, even though it's for his benefit, he's knowingly giving it to the person. And that's he's knowing that's the end result. In her case, she had no havamina. She was helping prepare his future right. Store in her mall. That came due to his actions.
So a very good difference, but that logic, if you think about it long enough, would mean that in the case of Leah, it's more reason to be chayv. Because the case of the Gemara, you're saying, well, he's giving it to the dyer, and he still has to pay for that benefit, even though he's acknowledging giving it to that. So culture again in the case of Leah, where she's creating Hana with no intention to give it to somebody else, and that person goes and takes it. For sure, that guy has to pay for it. So very good. That's a culture again.
You need him with you in basement.
Okay, so what's this?
The argument is whether the Kazman is stolen something, she keeps it away, or whether he has to give it back to the house.
No, but the Gemara says, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says, really, he should keep it. Why did he not keep it? Because he has to pay for Hana in any case, so give it back. Why do you have to pay? Not the bottom line is because he's getting benefit, that's why we make him give it back. But the reason is because he's getting benefit, it's a benefit which normally you'd have to pay. So, if that's the Hadar, how we learn what benefit is, so here's also benefit. She is applying the clientele basis, giving him Hana, and he's taking it without her agreement, and therefore he is providing him Hana with his clients, which is, she didn't want to give it to that manufacturer. He came and took it, so you should pay for it.
And in the case of Shabbos, there's nothing to give back. There's nothing to give back.
To pay? Like last week we learned,
he doesn't say, keep it and pay. He says, give it back.
No, you're wrong. Because the Gemara says, there are two lines beforehand. That's Rabbi Yehuda three times in Shas said the same concept. One of them was the case of living in somebody's house and causing wear and tear without their knowledge that you have to pay for getting benefit from the guy's house. Second, this case of dying, which you would also have to pay, if it wouldn't be for a takona that giving it back. So therefore we see that he says it's the same type of Hana. Living in somebody's house, you have to pay. Getting hung off on somebody providing you a service of delivery, you also have to pay. So, in our case, Leah provided the clientele.
So the object in the other case is the other person, the owner. Here the object comes.
Again, we go back to the same point. Rashi says the reason why the hana is nothing to do with the object, it's just the service of delivery.
His clause in the contract.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say there was no ship. Let's say there was no I forgot Leah's supplier's name, whatever.
Reuven.
Let's say Reuven didn't exist. Leah says, you know what, I had enough of this, I'm retiring. Then the next day, Levi comes in, opens up shop, and gets all these customers. You can have the same taina that Yish has to pay Leah because she created this at her expense?
Maybe that's called that she's given up her rights by closing up shop.
Her rights to what?
She's now created Hana. She's got all that she wanted out of this Hana.
Yeah.
And then by closing up, she's saying, that's it, the Hana is now I maxed out on my hana. I'm not interested anymore. Yeah. Anyone can come and take it if they want. Because I'm finished with the business. Now we're going to have quiet for 10 seconds so everyone can think why it's not comparable.
Going back to why...
I said 10 seconds!
Involved in the case of the shop.
There's no ownership with the concept of delivery. Fine, again, that's the same point which you said three times. That's not the reason why that's called Hana in our case. She says it's just the delivery service you're paying for. That's ownership.
Does she give up on the Hana here too once the guy cut off the supply? I mean, if someone else came in when he cut off the supply, would she have a taina to him?
Now you're thinking something. Now you're getting something. It took a long time, and I think the reason why is because Yemi's not here tonight.
That's it.
To get you going. But matters can... You want to develop that concept further?
If someone else... Let's say it wasn't... Let's say the supplier cut off the supply, and someone else moved in and opened up shop. Would she have the same kind to him? He's not the one that caused it to close down. All he's doing is taking... He's a vulture. He comes in and takes the corpses.
What you're saying is that they're just the two separate things. The cutting off and she's in a mall,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's two separate things.
You're in a mall, but by definition has stores all around it. So she has another store beside. Everybody's attracted. The whole reason...
She had sole rights to his supply.
Yeah, but the whole reason you have a mall was because...
No, but what she built up clients for this particular goods, which no one else can supply in this mall.
She has sole distribution.
She has sole distribution rights in this mall.
She has sole distribution.
Okay.
But the contract said you can cut her off
anytime. Yes, that's the point. Since the contract says that the manufacturer can cut off supply whenever he wants... Which he did.
What kind of sole distributor is that?
Which he did. He can cut out supply whatever he wants. Which he is allowed to. Therefore, yes, he's benefiting for all those years that she has built up the market. Fine, he's benefiting. But there's another condition in order to be hired to pay for the benefit you get from somebody. Which we know is... You get benefit from something, you only pay, though, if you cause chosr to that person through the benefit. By me taking that benefit, I cause you to lose. Then that means that this benefit you have to pay for, because this benefit caused him a loss. In our case, the benefit here that Reuben took from Leah didn't cause her the loss. What caused her the loss? Her lawyer caused her the loss. The contract caused her the loss. The fact that there's a clause there that says he can cut the supply whenever he wants. It's not the fact that he benefited from her clientele which caused her financial loss there. What caused the loss? The contract. It says he cuts off the supply. So she cuts off the supply. She doesn't exist anymore. She lost now all her money she invested because there's no goods to sell anymore. Why did she lose? Because the contract said she can lose because she has no more manufacturer who supplies her. Fine, she's lost now. Now he takes the hana from her, but that hana he's taking from her is not causing her any more loss than what she's already got. The hana didn't cause her loss over here. Therefore, the Pesach Beis Din, the Nusuk of the Pesach Beis Din was like this. For sure, Reuven is not doing what Esheris Yisrael should be doing. It's not one, a member of Klai Yisrael doesn't do this type of business activity.
That's in the Pesach?
Yes, written in Pesach. And therefore, Ein Ruch HaChomim Nochemenu with his actions.
What was something?
It's not, Chachamim do not see that this is smells right according to.
I never know if he isn't sure.
No, we're not being chayim, no chayim. But halachically, can we say you have to pay her? No, we can't say you have to pay her. But we propose an advice to you. It's highly recommended that you should give her some profit, or which you get from the, give her the original profit that she gets from the season, or supply her for this season until after Pesach at least, where she doesn't cut her off in her prime of the season like this. Either supply her, continue supplying her for this season, to the after Pesach, or give her the profit that she would have maintained from the Pesach season if she would have been open. That's what we recommend.
This was an Eretz Yisrael?
Yes. And therefore that was the Nusra
Doctor. Did this really happen so quickly?
Yes. Yes.
Because,
no, Beistin. No, no. There's different types of cases. Let me explain how Beistin works. There's different types of cases, and it goes on first come, first serve in when you get your hearing. Yes? So, normally, if you, when you phone up to a Beistin which is popular, you may have to wait 2, 3, 4 months. Yeah? Before you actually get to there, get to this city. So, yeah, depending how popular it is. Yeah? The Beistin. Now, however, Beistin, when they hear a case which is all dependent on money, time, and if time goes by there's going to be a loss, yeah, and time is an essence, then automatically they put them in straight away, next day. And if the person doesn't turn up, they give him another day to come, and another day come, in 3 days you can get the sub-serif, and if you need to go to Beis Mishpat to put on a Beis Mishpat secular law ikul, which means stop the other guy either building or stopping supply and things like that in the prime season, then you'll be able to do it in a very quick process. When Beistin see that time is the essence, then of course they bring up the dionim very quickly in such a case.
If she had got another supply right, like very quickly, and she immediately she was able to start selling another line of clothing, would he have been over what he did been problematic at all?
It wouldn't have been so problematic, because that means that he's not, as far as being a voucher or cutting her off. Cutting off didn't do her anything, because she just goes to another place. But she put all her eggs in one basket, and that was the problem in this case. And he knew that. That's why he was going through such a process.
It's not the fact that she created clientele that's going from COVID. Because
yes.
Anybody can open up a clothing store next door.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Now, that clause in the contract.
Yes.
And it's obvious she's dumping all this money in because she thinks it won't ever really be enforced. Is this such a thing as saying a smart for Volcania or something like that?
No, or what? The manufacturer clause. That's
yeah.
I can cut you off whenever I like. Yes.
Yeah.
There's no problem with smart for that. I'm the owner of my goods.
Yeah.
I mean it. I have the control over my goods.
No, that her agreeing to it.
To cut off supply? Not necessarily, because then you can tell Leon Minhag to cut someone off just before the main season. We wouldn't allow that if it's nothing in the contract. Now, next case. Tell me how you look at this case. Also a case that came to this.
Are these rulings like published? How do you find out about rulings in other Batidim?
Other Batidim, most of them are published in different forums, and also I have connections to other Dayanim and other Batidim.
And there's no such thing in a contract saying that a clause is so unfair that it should be like they do in English law, you can say cancel that clause.
When we get to contract law, there are certain examples of cases where we would say a clause is not valid.
Mm.
But not in this case.
No.
Okay. Next case. Okay. We'll keep with the similar names. Reuven is the good guy here. Reuven has an idea. It's come very popular in recent time. Of how to advertise his product. You don't advertise like you used to do in the old days, just putting up an advert, I'm selling this, come and buy it. But you build up the customer's interest. How do you do that? You put up a strange and ambiguous sign saying, soon we're going to be selling something big in the area. Yeah? What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything. Yeah? That's what you do the first week. The next week you add a few more words. You said, the big in the area is going to be coming to you very soon. and it's something which your children will love. Yeah? So you just build it up. Now. And then you hit them with the third one. And you actually explain, and the goods is one of the best bikes in the world. Yeah? That's what he's using.
Yeah?
You build them up. So Reuven puts in the first ads in the first week. Every 2 weeks he does it. Every 2 weeks in this particular paper. So he puts it in the first week, the first ad. He builds them up 2 weeks later with the second ad. Comes out every Tuesday, this particular ad. In between the second advert and the third one, which was supposed to be 2 weeks later, 1 week later after the second advert, Shimon came in, took the original idea, and said, instead of saying, we're selling bikes to your children, we're going to be selling to your children the best table in town. Something like that. Yeah?
So basically,
Shimon used the first two ads to sell his goods at the expense of Reuven, because now he's done such a thing. No one's going to look at the following week, and Shimon's, oh, we got the bikes to sell over here as well. So he took all the effort and expenses Reuven did in building up the product or the adverts in the first two, and he killed Reuven's adverts and he took it for himself.
Or is it grammar?
So it's such Yeah, the actual.
And Shimon comes out 1 week later as the second ad and says, best table in town.
Yeah, for the.
How do we know? How do we ascertain the intent that Reuven, or that Shimon hijacked Reuven?
Because he took exactly the same format, which was. The last two times, it's like the same format.
Same
like you said, same color scheme, same words, and you just add another three words to it. Yes? So instead of, and we're selling you bicycles, which is what Reuven was going to write, it says, and we're selling you the tables. Yes? Children tables.
Yeah,
but that does. He taught exactly the same. Yeah, it doesn't hold him, but it's now pretty useless, does it?
You know, the same sequence of words.
Yes. You just, but you've killed it. So you killed it. They killed the impact. They killed the impact.
But the loss doesn't relate to the benefit. It's not the same. Getting the benefit.
Oh, very much.
So therefore, now, can we say the person called Shimon is alive to pay Reuven because he's benefiting from Reuven and he's causing Reuven a loss or not in such a case?
No.
According to the principles which you set up to that, somebody gives you a benefit which you take, and that taking of benefit causes him a loss. Does that apply in our case today that Shimon has to pay Reuven or not?
Strictly that principle does.
I think it's separate.
I had an awe, and that an awe is what caused him the loss.
The hana is the first two ads. The loss is my third ad. My new ad, the loss. But not the same.
No, the hana is the third ad. The hana is the effectiveness of the third ad. But the loss is the next ad that he's going to put in that is now worthless, and the money you already spent on the first two ads.
So is that defined as the same miser or not?
So I would say, I would say that strictly speaking, that we should have the principles of enough here to say that you do have to pay because you're benefiting from something somebody created, and that by doing that you've caused that person a loss.
For sure.
Yeah, I would say that.
It's not as clear as if, for instance, you hijacked an invention that had not been
patented.
No, what is it?
Copyrighted.
You hijacked an invention that had not been copyrighted yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Jackman mentioned it hadn't passed.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're still saying the constant. That's guessing, maybe. That's maybe stealing. Yeah. But here we're coming to concept of, okay, you haven't stolen, but you benefited from him, which caused him a loss, which is good enough in the halakha to say you have to pay normally. You benefit and it causes him a loss, you have to pay. So let's look at the chasm sif. Okay, we'll see whether it fits. The chasm sif number 2 says like. Says the chasm sif, nirili mishum to lokaimel kab yuhudza. We do not bust in like this, Rabbi Yehuda. We mentioned in the Gemara before.
Why not?
What's the Chassam Sofer talking about? What's his case?
He's talking about the Shochet case. He's talking about Germany. There's a case in the Shochet. There's a few cases he's talking about. Okay, he says we don't bust in like Rabbi Yehuda. You can't take hana from somebody's money even. Without any problems. Even in the case where the person has invested effort creating that benefit, you can go ahead and get benefit from it. You can get hana from somebody's tikkun. In the case where, as long as there's no loss, could go and ship us to the kusa. I've had the Torah. But if it's just a loss of effort and no loss of money, then it's okay.
Well, here we have a big loss of money.
If it's a loss of money, you're not allowed to get benefit from that person. But if it's a loss of effort, then you can tikkun, then you can get benefit from that. Now, tell me what's the definition of tikkun, effort, which you're allowed. Somebody's invested effort and time into this and you got hana from it, then that's not caused enough for you to pay for. But if somebody's invested money or has caused it loss, then you do have to pay. When do we say something is tikkun? And something which is just effort, and something is actually called money.
Well, an ad is money.
Well, when you shelled out money, that's money.
Effort is not money?
No, not if it didn't cost me anything in terms of pay.
Time is money.
If I'm bringing wool from one store to the other, I didn't pay money to do that. I just walked.
You probably did pay money. You had to go.
I had to what?
You had to go and buy the wool.
Buying the wool didn't cost the money. What? If I paid for transportation, that's different.
You had to pay for the wool.
Well, let's say I walked.
Stole it.
But that's not the tirka. Paying for the wool is the wool.
Let me ask a bigger question. Let me ask you a bigger question. Let me ask another question and it will make clear the question. Which says in Shulchan Aruch, which the Chasam Sofer can't argue with. Reuven paid money to the goy and he was mafkir the field. The goy gave up his rights to that field. Reuven created a field to be hefker and came along Shimon and took that field. There the Shulchan says Shimon has to compensate Reuven for creating hefker. Yes. So is that money or is that effort over there?
I'll say it again.
Reuven paid the goy money for the field. The goy made it hefker because of that money.
Okay.
And came along Shimon, took that field, and now Shimon has to compensate Reuven for the money. Why? Because he's getting benefit from Reuven creating the hefker. That's called money over there. Yes?
Reuven paid money.
Reuven paid money. Yes.
The field belongs to Reuven.
No. But you can listen to last week's show, you'll understand a lot. Now. So, over there, we see that for sure that's called money. So every time you pay money, that's called money?
No, when you pay money, that's money.
Yeah? So therefore, the Chassid Sofer is talking about a case where he made no money, all you did is some sort of tikkun, yeah? Service. Pure service, yeah? That's the clear definition of it, yes? So the Chassam Sofer's case is not like that. The Chassam Sofer's case is also where there was money involved along the way. So So it can't be that money is the pure definition over here. So you have to give me a clearer definition of when it's just effort and when it's when something's called money.
I don't understand. What is the custom sofer saying this?
Rakhazov is talking about a case where money was spent in his case, and he still calls that tikhon.
Oh, money was spent in
yes.
his case,
his particular case.
What was
he invested money in training somebody, and he.
Oh, that was the shocking thing we had.
Yeah.
And that's still called tikhon?
Yes.
It might be more than 10 seconds.
Okay. So, I'm going to give it to you now. Definition is like this. I have to have hanor from something which costs you money. How do we find whether this is called money that I'm getting hanor from? It's called money if the tircha that you put into it, or even the money which you put into whatever you created, actually created something which is unique. Which you can say, I see in front of me something, and, somebody must have created this. Can't just happen like that. It must be that somebody must have done something over here to create this, to establish this. Then that's called not just tircha that he's invested, he's actually created something which we can define as his through his money and his efforts in such a case.
Even he spent no money on it?
Even maybe he does spend money because time is money. Like you know, services is also money. Every service is a money. It's also, I can charge you for my service. It's also money in time. So what is the definition where you can charge or not charge? The bottom line, the definition is, if the person, after he's gone and invested his time and money, he has created something unique to him, then we can say, yes, this good was created by somebody, Ruvay, and therefore you're benefiting from it. So therefore you're benefiting from what he has invested. He has created something over here. It's not just tircha. He's actually created something which I'm getting hanor from. And then you have to pay. But in the case of the Gemara of Yehuda, all he did was transport the wool from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv. No one can say when they look at the wool in Tel Aviv that...
The same wool.
It's the same wool. All it is tikhon. It may have cost him money, may have cost him the bus service or the taxi service, but it's nothing you can say when you're looking at the wall that it was someone has done this over here and you're getting benefit from it. You can't pinpoint the benefit easily that to Reuven that created that benefit. Only when you can look at, I'm taking benefit, and it's obviously that benefit is given to me by somebody. Why? Because obviously that somebody must have provided this for me to take benefit, where we would say that you're hired to pay. So in the case of the wall, you took. So now, we look at our case, in the case of the adverts. Is it obvious in that case that the person who go ahead and took that third outfit, created that third outfit, and gained benefit from the first two, that we can say that he has benefited from Reuven, who created the first two adverts, and therefore the hanah he's getting is a hanah from Reuven that now he has to pay or not?
If someone's seen all three papers, then yes. If someone's only seen the third paper, then no.
And somebody who's only seen the third paper hasn't had the benefits of the impact in any case.
Right,
yes?
Right.
So we're only interested in the people who have seen the first two papers.
So in which case there is a financial benefit.
Yes. And therefore, halachically in the case over here, Shimon had to compensate Reuven for the first two adverts. In that case, he does have to compensate. Okay, we're running out of time. And therefore...
Time is money.
Therefore, I'm going to tell you the case.
Why?
What?
Why?
Why are we running out of time?
No. Why? Are you now saying the person who only went and bought wool in Timbuktu and spent $1 million taking it around the world, he hasn't done anything unique. Like, I'll put up the 20...
If it's... Now, Now you've changed the case. Now, if it's wool, which is clearly a Timbuktu wool, and it happens to be in Yerushalayim, then obviously then anyone were looking at it to see that, oh, someone must have transported this over here.
Yes, but it's the same Yerushalayim, Tel Aviv, it's the same one Tel Aviv.
No, because this wool in Tel Aviv is also in Tel Aviv.
But what about, but it's still he's done the service.
Yes, and that the customs service.
No,
you're correct.
See, the cost is irrelevant.
The cost is irrelevant. And effort and time is, money is irrelevant. We want to know, because you call.
Why?
Because we're defining you're benefiting from him. No, not. I'm indirectly benefiting from him. Yes, indirectly
benefiting from him.
I'm not directly benefiting from him.
Why is it indirectly? He did it.
He did it, but on the other hand, it's not clear to everybody he did it. Therefore, in the definition of taking hana from him has to be clear, otherwise it's not.
What do you mean by clear? Why is one clear?
If you look at the wall, it looks the same as any other wall that was not transported.
Excuse me, you open the front door and you see wool. It's there. It's not there. Somebody must have brought it there. No, I mean somebody must have. The guy did bring it there. What do you mean it's not clear? It's as clear as.
No, you're coming from Eric, I'm going to tell you after the shir that you're coming from the whole wrong outlook of this whole concept of Hana. Because I tell you like this. Logically, and you made the same mistake like 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, right? Logically, there's no reason why you should pay at all for benefit somebody, you taking benefit from somebody. Doesn't matter. He did it for himself, and I happen to get benefit for what he did for himself. Why should I pay for it? And therefore, halakhically, basis without any
kiddushin.
Yes.
No, that's not.
No. We're not talking about somebody. I'm hiring. Not talking about a worker.
No, you're talking about. Yes. You're talking about him gain benefit. You gain benefit to his detriment. At his benefit. It's not. Why should I pay benefit?
No, but you don't have ownership. But somebody doesn't have ownership over it. Therefore, I haven't stolen anything from him.
What do you mean he doesn't have ownership?
He doesn't have ownership from it. Doesn't have ownership of the newspapers and of the adverts and that I can say.
Exactly.
So therefore, I haven't done anything wrong.
Therefore, the adverts is even less than the person who brings the wool. You're right. The person who brings the wool does have ownership.
He doesn't have ownership. Again, he does not have ownership
of the wool. He didn't pay for it. It's not his wool.
That's why we say he has to pay for the wool, but for the benefit of the transport. No, he has no ownership of the transport service. Correct.
What do you mean he has no ownership?
Yes, no.
So.
Therefore, you're coming from the wrong premises. And we'll talk about it in detail after this year, not now. Because you're coming from the wrong starting base. The starting base, there's no reason, halakhically in the world, you should ever pay for Hana.
No reason,
because I didn't hire him, he didn't do it for me, and I'm just taking it, even though it's causing a loss. Yes, I'm wrong, it's wrong. It's not so. You used the wrong word. It's not halakhic. It's the gezel because it's not his. I'm benefiting it, which is called indirect gezel, indirect mazik, and therefore halakhically indirect means you're off the hook, and therefore naughty boy. I can say the English word. You're naughty, and therefore it's not right what you did. But halakhically, have you stolen something? No. Have you mazik anything? No. It's all indirect, and therefore halakhically, hana, you shouldn't have to pay. Unless you have kiddushin, which we've been discussing last 3 weeks. Okay? Now we'll discuss it in detail more afterwards. I'll leave you with a shayla like this.
This is still after.
Is it still after Pesach or after Pesach?
Still after Pesach. Base.
It's a long time to think about it.
Yeah. So you have something to think about. Not a Seder night.
Second Seder when everybody else is at a seminary graduate.
Now, neighbors have decided to gather together and have a Vadabais meeting, and they agree that they need security in the area due to the increased neighbors that are happening around. And therefore, they're going to put up a system of cameras, which is obviously going to cost a lot of money to invest initially to set up such a system. There's a majority who decide to go ahead with such a process. There is a minute minority, 2 or 3, which decide they don't see there's any point or necessary for the process, and therefore they don't want to go ahead halakhically at that stage. When we go to Vada Bais, in such a thing, Rove cannot machayev the miyut to pay, and therefore the people who wanted it pay, and the people who don't want it don't pay. A few months later, a ganeva takes place in one of the people's houses who did not pay for the system. The thieves come round and they say, "Ah, everything's like this. Oh, there's a camera system over here. Maybe there's a picture of the Ganav who came in and we can have leads to chase and catch them." So Reuven, who's the one who was stolen from, goes to the Vada Bais and asks Shimon, "Is there pictures over here?" So Shimon looks, yes, says, "There is pictures. Can I have the pictures?" So Shimon says, "If you pay for your place in the camera system, then you can have the pictures. If you don't pay, you can't."
It's also in Israel, right?
Yes, isn't it? It's Reuven says, "Look, I pay for the picture development." System, no. So now we go to Dintera. Is Shimon of the Vada Bais, is the Vada Bais mechuyev to hand over Reuven that picture for the price of the picture? Or have they got a right to hold back the whole picture until they pay for their chelik in the system?
Wow. What would be the chiyuv at all? Shabbat Aveda?
Oh, you think about it. That's part of your...
I mean, even if you were going to pay $1 million, what would be the chiyuv?
All cases, the majority can't force...
No. Sometimes the majority can force the git, and sometimes it can't. And it depends on what issues. That would be a whole different series of shirim and vada bais. When they can force, when they can't force. But when even the mit sometimes can force the roof under certain circumstances.
A building that because it's been in the shukras?
Yes. Okay. Have kosher v'sabim.
What is it?